Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, y'all can be seated. Today is Thursday, 12th of September 2019. So we will get ready for puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho sanghang namami. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Musawada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Suramiraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami Okay, now turn to page 3 of your chanting book. Viva Chanda Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa dipena dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dopena hang sugang hina Pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bajana motamang vanna ganda guno petang etang kusuma santatin pujayami monindasa siri pada sarorohe Pujemi buddhang kusumena nena punnena machena cha hotu mokhang pupang milayati yata idang me kayo tata vinaye vinasa bhavang adivase tu no bante Paniyang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatumutamang adivasetu nobante pale parikapitang anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang adivasetu no bante bojanang parikapitang anukampang upadaya patigan hatu mutamang Now you are chanting the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculty of sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple Gem. Padang Pujemi. Namang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated. And we can have half an hour of silent awareness meditation. So just relax body and mind. Have a stable posture. Your posture is not critical. Whatever that is comfortable, suitable for you. So that you can have a stable posture for you to develop the tranquility or stillness, silent awareness meditation. If you are still young, you can still sit cross-legged. You can start with the cross-legged meditation posture. Then later on, when you know how to relax into this posture, you can go for other posture. Sitting is one of the usually managed type of posture, because people used to see the Buddha Rupang, the image, in the sitting posture. But do you realize before the Buddha passed away, he is in the lying down posture? They call it the lion posture. Why? Because as you age, your body may not be able to allow you to have that type of flexibility or the healthy body to cross your leg. Without crossing your leg, unless you know how to relax, it creates a lot of qi channel which can be restricted. All the point where you bend your leg, then also in order to relax in a sitting posture is not easy unless you are trained. Those who do yoga and all the various type of exercises, they know how to relax. So for them, sitting is not a problem. That's why during the time of the Buddha, they can sit full lotus and all those things. But it's not necessary. It's not something that you have to force yourself into. No. Always remember, meditation is not for you to torture yourself unnecessarily. Meditation is to develop the understanding of how to train your mind, how to relax your body and mind, how to develop the stability of posture for good meditation. So whatever posture that are comfortable, as you age, you cannot cross your leg, never mind. You can sit on a stool or a chair, or you can lie down on a couch, it's okay. Most important thing is to understand what is meditation. Meditation, you only need to inquire two things. Are my spiritual faculties developed? First question. If they are not developed, the mental hindrance would be there. You can check during your daily life. If you are not mindful, aware and heedful, because you lack spiritual faculty, your mental hindrance keep on arising. That is heedless living. If you have this type of situation, then you cannot meditate, because the moment you sit or go into the meditative state or posture, the sankhara will move. The mental hindrance will condition your mind to be heedless. Yeah. If throughout the day, in the daily life, you react to sense experience, creating the first two mental hindrances of like and dislike, or pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, until it is so habitual, then you don't stand a chance to have a calm mind. So this mental hindrance will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. That's why when you sit, you cannot calm it down, you cannot meditate. So what you need to do is, you need to develop some skillful means to train this mind. The best way is to use the mind sweeping method to temporarily decondition the heedless thinking. Your mind sweeping method is to train you to be aware of wherever your mind is. You can start with the forehead, relax body and mind, silent everything, make sure your backbone is straight, then close your eye. Then maintain attention at your forehead. So if you want the mind to be at the forehead, it's at the forehead. Then you sweep it down, facial muscle, eye muscle, neck, shoulder, all these locations. As you train, you can develop the ability to set your mind at the location you want it to be. Then every time you set the mind, you only feel and relax, you don't think. That's how it deconditions your heedless thinking. So mind sweeping method is a very good way to temporarily keep the mental thinking at bay. So I call it a very conducive, skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking. So when you feel and relax, there is no more thinking. That's why finally the thinking momentum slow down and until it becomes very quiet. Then you combine with loving kindness, metta. It will bring about inner well-being. The mind sweeping method can bring about inner peace. Then metta bring about inner well-being. So that is the reason why we start with mind sweeping method combined with metta. Then after that, your mind settle down because the heedless thinking has been disconnected. Means it is no longer there because you have used that skillful means, mind sweeping method, to decondition your heedless thinking. Then this mind, which is more calm, more quiet, it needs something to keep it the same state that it is in. That's why you need an object of meditation. Otherwise, the mental hindrance can arise again. So it's just a temporary means to keep the mental hindrance at bay for the time being, so that you can train the mind to be peaceful, aware within, so that it can develop the meditative state. So in order to stabilize the quiet mind, the tranquility or stillness of mind, you need another skillful mind. We normally do anapanasati as taught by the Buddha, because anapanasati is just to train your mind to be mindful of your in and out breath. Your in and out breath will breathe in and breathe out naturally. Then if your mindfulness or awareness can be with it, then the awareness and the breath move as one, like the Buddha's instruction. Breathing in, aware. Breathing out, aware. Just do that. Don't try to know anything. You are training. So every time the mind wanders off, aware, finish. Don't react. Don't become unhappy or agitated. Just patiently bring it back. have the understanding that the untrained mind think a lot, it will wander off, it will become heedless. So when you understand that, you can meditate. That's why meditation is to be done with understanding. So you train your mind, stabilize that sati through anapanasati. Then you just do until the anapanasati develop. And when anapanasati develop, there is no thought. You are just aware of the in and out breath. Then relax into it. Whatever mind state that arise, relax into it. Don't go into strong absorption or concentration. Just aware, mindful, finish. Then as you do that, as you relax, your mind state become more and more peaceful, more and more calm, more and more refined. Then without thought, when you are in sati, you will experience the mind state of piti. Piti is the initial meditative peace, the inner calmness, inner peace, or spiritual joy. Sometimes it feels so good, it like rapture in your mind. So they call it the spiritual rapture. Yeah. So when you experience that, you will like to meditate. It's a lot of joy, calm, peaceful, and joyful. But later on, as you relax further, become more and more stable in your anapanasati, then it will become more refined. Then when it becomes more refined, you will experience sukhang. Sukhang is a blissfulness of mind. The mind becomes very blissful, very intense. And sometimes the blissfulness is so intense, it will make you feel like tingling sensation, a lot of joy, very intense joy. Then later on, you continue to relax and silent. The anapanasati will develop deeper and deeper until the mind becomes very quiet, very still. Then even your breathing also starts to slow down until you can hardly perceive it. The breath is so subtle as if you are not breathing, but it's actually still breathing, but subtle breathing, internal breathing. So when that thing happens, you have to silence everything. Don't do anything. Don't even try whatever thing they teach you, like sitting, touching. Forget about it. Because by now, your mind is in sati, but it has not really stabilized. So what you need to do is continue to be at the nostril where your in and out breath is. Even though very subtle, you just stay there. Stay there. If the mind can be aware just there without any movement, then your mind will enter sati. Yeah. Otherwise, you need the movement of the in and out breath to anchor your mind so that the sati will not wander off. But when you are able to stay there without doing anything, a free mind, able to be in that relaxed state or awareness at the breathing there, then later on, when mind enters sati, the mind will become very different. It's like you develop the higher level of more refined sati. When that thing happens, your sati can detect the subtle breathing. Then it's as if your anapanasati come back, but very short breath. Then sometimes it's like you no need to breathe, you can just stay there, aware. Then you allow it to be relaxed into it, silent everything, until the mind becomes so still, so silent, it realizes pasati. Pasati is an enlightenment factor. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind, where there is no thought, no movement. Stay there. That is your meditative mind, your silent mind. And you can completely allow it to be. It will finally become your true mind. Then you will understand what that true mind is, what your inner awareness is. that true mind, that true nature is just aware, no word, nothing. It's not a being, nothing. But you have to stabilize it, to develop the deep understanding. Then that mind can meditate. That mind can understand. That mind can be mindful of many, many things. It can be aware of all the entire movement within your form and mind. All the essential Dhamma that the Buddha spoke or taught, you will witness them. You will see the dependent origination, the dwelling. Then you will see how your mind functions following Citta Niyama. And Citta Niyama is about the dependent origin, Paticca Samuppada, dwelling. You silence everything, then you will see them. Then when your mind stir and react, you will see the evil roots, your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. Then when you input your content of consciousness, which is based on wrong view, you will also understand, and you will really come to the clear understanding that this is how your mind stir and react to sense experience due to your wrong view, self-delusion, that condition the egoic mind to behave in those manner. So all this will allow you to see things clearly as they are, to develop the wisdom. Then with the wisdom, you can retrospectively reverse all this mind state of movement, which means you can straighten your view no more like before. To do that, you need to reflect and contemplate, especially in your daily life. You have to see all this clearly to develop the second turning wisdom. First turning wisdom is your listening to the Dhamma, or you read up on your own. Then when you reflect, contemplate and inquire, the second turning wisdom arises. The first turning is for you to develop the initial understanding. Then when you start to reflect, contemplate and inquire into it, you can recollect through whatever life experience or memory that you have about those eight realities that the Buddha talked about. And through this constant reflection, contemplation and inquiry, you develop more stable understanding of life, more stable understanding of what dukkha is. That's how you do your second turning. The first noble truth, the Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. This is what you have to do. Reflect, contemplate, recollect through life experience. See clearly what dukkha is, each and every of the eight conditions. So when you can understand, then you can move on to the second noble truth, the second turning. The Buddha said, this craving, which is the cause of suffering, is to be abandoned or severed. So to do that, you have to develop wisdom, understanding. Otherwise, that craving will continue to be there. You have to inquire who crave, who developed this wanting, seeking, desire, lust, anger, emotion, fear. When you meditate and silence everything, then in your daily life, with your stability of daily mindfulness, you can see them. You can understand very clearly how all this happened. So through that understanding, you straighten your view. Then you will come to understand that all this craving and desire is from the egoic mind, the self-delusion, the condition is reaction and movement. Then when you understand that there is no one inside there, it's because of your wrong view that conditioned you to do all this. Then through that understanding, you straighten your view, then you realize what the Buddha is trying to explain to you. The Buddha say, your six sense door activity are very important. Every moment of sense door consciousness, you have to see clearly with your silent mind. At the moment of sense experience, example seeing, the seeing consciousness, the Buddha say, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness, no one to see as yet. The egoic mind hasn't come in. The content of consciousness hasn't come in. You have to inquire, how can I see all this? Otherwise I cannot abandon it. So it's only when you can see through the direct seeing, the silent mind, then you can have the pure perception, the direct seeing. Seeing things as they are, before the words, before the concept, before the perception brings in the external form. It's just like the baby, newborn baby. Pure perception. No cognition as yet. Then you realize that is what is happening, like the physics experiment. Upon contact, you on the switch, the light bulb light up. The lighting up is just that consciousness. That's why in the seeing is just a seeing consciousness. In the hearing is just a hearing consciousness. You must have the stability of mindfulness to realize that, to see that clearly. Then you will understand what the Buddha meant. Then you can straighten your view. Then there is no one inside there to crave, to desire. Everything you realize is dependent, originating, condition arising. Fear, selfishness, craving, desire, lust, anger, envy, jealousy, they are all not intrinsic within your nature. They are dependent, originating, condition arising phenomena created by your wrong view, your wrong thought. So when you see all this, you start to understand. Then you start to develop the stability of mindfulness, wisdom, yonisomanasikara, to understand all this. Then craving can be severed and abandoned through wisdom. You don't need to do anything. The moment you see it coming, the second right effort, prevent it from arising, you have that ability because you have that second turning wisdom, born of constant reflection, constant contemplation, inquiry, and the mind meditation, silent inner awareness, the direct seeing in the midst of life, the daily mindfulness. So all this will prepare you to have a very stable initial wisdom. The Buddha called it yonisomanasikara. Without this developed, your daily mindfulness cannot come about. Without the daily mindfulness, you cannot have sense restraint, the three way of right conduct. That's why you are here in the form of meditation to train your mind, to stabilize the sati. Then after that, allow the mind to enter sati. Then only you are able to be mindful in the midst of life. It's only when your mind enters sati, your stability of daily mindfulness can come about. When your mind enters sati, it means you have quite a lot of initial wisdom. You don't grasp, you don't cling anymore. You just let things be. Then the mind settles down. The third way to meditate. Yeah? And the fourth way is to trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it through right view. This is what meditation is all about. The form of meditation is to train the mind so that mind enters sati. So that mind can have the stability of mindfulness leading to samadhi. Then when you come out of the meditation, everything you do is in sati, where your mind has entered sati. Then when you go for the first and second turning wisdom, stabilize it, your initial wisdom will come in and help you. It will prompt you at the moment of sense experience. Then your daily life becomes in order. then you have less and less mental hindrance. You react less. After you straighten your view, avijja is weakened, attenuated. So when avijja is weakened, the first dueling, avijja paccaya sankhara, also weakened, attenuated. Then your sankhara activity become less and less, less and less, until finally you hardly think. It's just aware. That's what meditation is all about. Then you have more and more moment of silence, moment of inner peace, inner calmness, awareness, space between thought. This is what meditation is all about. Then that tranquility, that stillness can be expanded. It will last longer and longer, longer. Then meditation become very easy. You settle down very fast. Then you straight away enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. The mind is quiet, silent, still. Then whatever that arises within the sixth sense door, you will be able to witness the Buddha's teaching, the essential Dhamma. You will see them all. You will witness the dwelling Paticca-samuppada, the seven factors of enlightenment, the four noble truths. Initially, even the mental hindrance, the three evil roots. Yeah. Then, all the other essential Dhamma that are related to the teaching, you will start to witness them, see them, understand them. Then you become different. You will be transformed. Okay, with this instruction, I think, I will let you meditate on your own. Then, when the half an hour is up, the alarm will go off, then I will ring the bell. Then you can slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. So, don't try to remember the instruction because they are recorded. You can go back slowly, listen to it, then write down the point. When you write down, you can understand. Okay, now I will let you meditate on your own. you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Then you can develop until the stage when your mind has entered sati. That will be the best. Then your daily mindfulness will be very easy. But to do that, you need to have some form of initial wisdom. Otherwise, the mind cannot be really peaceful, quiet, tranquil, and still. For a free mind to have the ability to behave, you must have some form of understanding. Okay, then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiakawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atasa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampanno sugato lokavido Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Samichipatipanno To Savakasango Yaditang Chattari Purisa Yukani Atta Purisa Pugala Esa Bhagavato Savakasango Ahuneyo Pahuneyo Dakkeneyo Anjali Karaneyo Anuttarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Okay, let us be respect Triple J. Bedang puji. Damang puji. Sanghang puji. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just relax body and mind and maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue from where we stopped last Thursday. We were going through this book, the 75th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, with essential summary of cultivation. So this is a book based on the direct transcript from the recording of our 75th lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. The talk was given on the 27th of May 2018 at Wu Ping Jingsa. So we are at page 43. Turn to page 43. So I will read from the above down, so that you can recollect. Where is the pillow? Oh, that one. Can help me bring over that pillow. The big one at the center one. Center one. Okay, thank you. Because this chair is too deep. thank you, Christina. Okay. But initially you need the voice, because that is the one that gives you the faith to anchor the mind. Do you understand? So Google is trying to answer us. So this one, last Thursday, I think we were discussing about Mahayana chanting. So that's why here I say, initially you still need the chanting voice, because that is the one that can give them the faith to anchor the mind. So with the faith and the virya, you chant until one day you come to realize the chanting is gone. No more. Then that chanting appear by itself in the brain, or somewhere up here, I remember, at the back. Then sometimes you may go somewhere. The moment the chanting start, your awareness is with it already. It could be a chanting from the temple or somebody chanting. Then initially you can follow it via verbalizing it from inside. So the Mandarin chanting is Amitabha. Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. So this one will revibrate. Then as you chant with awareness, mindfulness and the faith, Sada and Virya, you will develop stability or sati. And later on, like the object of meditation, you don't need it anymore. The chanting can go on its own, without holding on to anything. Then the awareness and the chanting as one. Then the form and mind will realize that there is no one inside there chanting. It's just a dependent originating sati within that is aware of all this. And you can also use your own voice to make it stronger if you want. But if you have the stability of mindfulness already, the voice doesn't come out anymore. It is from inside your nature, which is just awareness. And the thing as one. So it's just the awareness and that vibration as one. Then later on, no more chanting from outside. The inside will chant by itself because you have developed it. then the faith has manifested. You are connected. Then the awareness is always there. Then in whatever condition the mind is in that state of samadhi. Because the chanting has developed the spiritual faculty of sati and samadhi. That's how they can see things as they are and develop the wisdom so that the five spiritual faculty are all there. The faith is also very strong. It's also very important. Because with the faith, the virya will arise. And if every day you do those chanting, like a religious routine, your sati will stabilize. Then for the Mahayana, almost every day they are chanting, mindful and aware of whatever they do. That's how they develop the stability of sati and sada, the faith. So you have your morning chanting, your evening chanting, sometimes full moon and new moon chanting. And you also have all the various other type of chanting, like the 7-day chanting, chan chi, the 10-day chanting, the 9 days, and the 30 days. So they continuously develop this spiritual faculty, just like what you all did during the recent Kuan Yin retreat in Cameron Highland. I think some of the Kayamita went up. And because of the continuous chanting, that's the reason why some of you, like Sister Adeline, her mindfulness just arise. Because she did it continuously. Do you understand? She already tried to stabilize her sati before she went for the retreat. While at Rayong, Thailand, Achan Ananda, Wat Machap. She could do it because she was very determined. And she also has the faith and the virya. She was ready when she was at the recent retreat. This was the reason why she benefited so much while at this retreat, the word extra word. Actually also can at her this retreat. But the English not so good. She knew that daily mindfulness was very important. And most of the time, she and those who have gone through it, like Brother Song, they are aware and mindful throughout the day most of the time. That's what cultivation is all about. As long as you are not heedful, which means ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, you are as if dead. For according to Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. That's why you must train your mind until you are ever mindful most of the time, so that you are heedful in the midst of life. Otherwise, you are as if dead. So this is Dhammapada verse 21. Dhammapada verse 21 says the heedless are as if dead. So you can't maintain heedfulness throughout the day while under training. There is no way you can develop the enlightenment. Because the moment you are heedless, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. This training is not difficult when you understand. When you understand, you just do it. Don't try to know. Don't worry about right or wrong. This is where people get caught. Because the mind is too eager to know. Am I doing it right? It's not about right and wrong. It's whether you understand what is meditation or not. Do you understand what you are doing in the name of meditation or not? Like in the beginning, the instruction. If the spiritual faculties are not there, train. If the spiritual faculty are there, technically, no need to train. No need object of meditation. No need to do anything. The spiritual faculty will allow you to enter the meditative state. Well, with the spiritual faculty, there is no mental hindrance to hinder your mind for entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness. So, technically, with the spiritual faculty, you are already in the meditative state. So that is the first check. If you don't have the spiritual faculty, then you need to do something. That's why I taught you the mind sweeping method, the metta combined. Then after that, anchor it to anapanasati or whatever method or technique that you are familiar with, so that this sati stabilizes until the mind enters sati. Then after that, don't do it anymore. After that, your mind already in sati. Everything you do in life is in sati. Every moment of seeing is in sati. Every moment of hearing is in sati. Your mind has entered sati. Smell, taste, tactile, and thought process. That's why there is clarity. There is sensitivity. There is understanding. Because your sati has become very stable. Then when you develop clear comprehension, the four types of clear comprehension, your sati becomes samasati, it will not go wrong. The clear comprehension is to prevent you from using your sati wrongly. So sati without clear comprehension may not be right mindfulness, may not be samasati. Yeah. So this one is something that cultivator must understand. Then I read on. Don't try to know. Don't worry about right or wrong. Every time the thought wants to know, you should inquire, am I doing it right? Who is trying to be right? The thought is trying to be right. It is too eager to know. So when you understand this, you will know how to straighten your view. Then the ego manifests. Without you knowing, we are saying, hey, I have got it already. Especially so if I were to tell you, your meditation reporting is good. Please continue with your practice. Then your thought will tell you, Brother Teo say I am doing it right. Then you become complacent. You think you have got it. And then you stop your cultivation. The real meditation is not about doing it right or wrong. It's about understanding what you are doing, what you have to do in the name of meditation. If my spiritual faculty are not stable, then I have to work on it, especially mindfulness. Cultivating sadha and virya are relatively easier. But sati, you must develop it throughout the day, as per my earlier advice. A good daily religious routine is very important. Before you sleep, meditate. Silence your mind and relax. When you go to sleep, be mindful, silent, and meditate until you sleep. Then the most important thing is the next morning. The moment you wake up, be aware of your posture. Then be mindful of everything you do. Then pay respect to Triple Gem. Do your meditation again. If you need to wash up, brush your teeth, etc., do it mindfully. Then go to your altar to develop some form of meditation. After that, whatever you do, like preparing your breakfast and taking your breakfast, develop mindfulness. If you find it difficult, you can start with the mindfulness of your own four posture. Then slowly connect them with your other movement to develop the awareness of all the in-between movements and activity. You have to do all this before you go out of the house. Pay respect, Triple Gem, and have faith. Every time you pay respect with your palm, there is this energy that goes to your heart. Initially, your heart area has to open up first because if your heart is not sensitive, I realize that it is not easy to cultivate because you cannot be mindful from there. When you are not able to open up your heart, you will not be sensitive to detect energy. You can't even be aware of your heart area. So you tend to use your brain and your thought more. Reason why you think a lot, and very few people can develop the faith until their heart area open up. Every time you pay respect with faith, there is an energy going in without you knowing it. If you are not sensitive, But later on, it will become sensitive. And then you can feel a lot of things from there. The awareness from there can actually speed up the cultivation, because the true sati starts from there. You know why that? The sati is awareness from your nature. So this background awareness from your nature is the one that is aware, not the thought trying to be aware. You have to understand that. Then every time you lapse into heedlessness, like while doing anapanasati or mindfulness of four posture, you bring it back. Then you determine to be aware by coming back to your heart area. From here, you aware of outside. Means the inner awareness is aware of everything that is outside. Via your sense, the activity are all outside. But there is this inner awareness that is aware of all this movement. So this one is very important. If you train it this way, sooner or later, one day, you will come to realize that your mind is different now. You can every time from inside develop awareness of outside. Everything you do from inside the heart area, you aware. You can see and trace back via recollection of mind. Then all this daily religious routine, whether you are working or doing your own daily kiosk for housewife. If you are a career person, means you are working. You have to maintain mindfulness even while driving your car. So that part needs to be stabilized and established. That's why it is a full-time job. Please don't make that mistake. Because last time when I shared this full-time job, you know, one of the lady, Kayanamita, she came and talked to me. Say, brother, your full-time job means I must retire. I cannot work. No. Full-time means full-time meditating while working. That is full-time job. Means meditation become your full-time career or your important job duty that you have to do. Then only she understand. At first she come and relate the problem. I still cannot afford to retire. I still have to be responsible for many things. I still got car installment, house installment. Then I still need to pay for my living expenses. At times support the family, the parents and all those things. I say, don't worry. You can have your job and yet you can do it. Then there is another Kayamita. She was so conditioned. She likes to go retreat. You can say she is a retreat queen. And every year, you know what she do? She will only work for 6 months. She work for 6 months. Then for 6 months, she will go for retreat and all those things. So what happened was, she later on heard somebody told her about my session, my class. Then she attended my class. Then when I was sharing the Dhamma about meditation, she asked me the question, say, Bratio, is retreat important? I said, depends. You understand what you are doing in the retreat, then it's useful, important. But if you don't understand, to me, you're wasting your time. She was so annoyed, Say, how can you say wasting my time? Then I say, you are willing to listen? She say, okay. So I ask her. I say, how many retreats have you gone? Oh, she say, many. Many. I say, okay. How do you find the retreat? She say, initially, take a while to settle down. After I settle down, my mind very calm. I feel very good. He said, every time I got problem, I go for retreat. Then I said, you already answer the question yourself. Every time you got problem, you go for retreat. Why? Because after you come out of retreat, you are not mindful. You are heedless almost throughout the day. That's why you have problem. Because you didn't develop wisdom. You didn't know what the cultivation is. Then only I start to explain to her about Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23. Then only she start to know, wow, like that one, cultivation, daily mindfulness, everything. He thought, sit, fantastic meditation. Then with the insight, the jnana, everything there. At times people tell her, you got what jnana, whatever. So she thought, she already what level. But when I mentioned that, when you are out of the retreat, how long can you retain your peacefulness, your calmness? He said, sometimes for about a few days, sometimes for about a week. The maximum she tried was about 2 weeks. I said, after that, do you still have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, unhappiness? Yeah. Then I said, you are wasting your time. You didn't really develop the true understanding of the teaching. You didn't really develop the real meditation. You actually went to a quiet place to seek peace. That's it. Then develop all the meditative experience, the concentration, the samatha, calmness. Then you slow everything down, thinking that that is the deep. Your thoughts are very active. You every time want to know whether you already succeeded in the meditation already or not, whether you have become a sotapanna or not. I say you cannot lie. You go out into life and you check. If you are incapable of the daily mindfulness, sati sambhajana, the sense restraint, you are far from awakening. Then only she start to tell me the truth. He said, now I knew where I went wrong. Last time, every time I got problem, I go for retreat. Then I gain back my peace, my calmness and all that. But every time I come out, like you say, this thing doesn't last. I said, because you didn't understand the real teaching of the Buddha. He talked about heedfulness, ever mindful, constantly meditative. You are not doing it. You are complacent with what the retreat can give you. The calmness, the peacefulness. That is not the real meditation. The real meditation is sati sampajana. That's why you have the four foundation of mindfulness. It's not concentration. It's not samatha, focusing, concentration, one-pointedness, jhana, everything. No, those are Hindu meditation. The Buddha learned it under the two great teachers. And yet he himself realized he has not realized what he was searching for. Means the liberation of mind, the enlightenment, the wisdom to understand and to overcome old age, sickness and death. Yet he failed to understand this form of mind was not him initially. Even after he managed to perfect all the cultivation of jhana practices until he's of equal to the last two teachers, Alara and Udaka. He also perfected the 7th and the 8th jhana, but still he's not enlightened. That's why he was invited to teach on par with the two teachers. But he said, no, I will still continue and search and develop the meditation. That's why after that he left them. Then alone he strived on. But later on he realized the body was too weak. So he started to eat. When he started to eat, the five ascetic thought he was not serious anymore. He used to practice very severe austere dutanga practices, hardly eat anything. Endure, strong mind, but he realized too weak, cannot. So when he started to eat, the five ascetic left him. That's why finally he alone, he cultivated. Then when Sujata offered the mock rice, that was the condition. Then the sign came, then he knew he's destined for enlightenment underneath the Bodhi tree. That's why he made the vow. A very strong vow, is it? Not until he realized enlightenment, he will not arise from that seat, is it? Even to the extent of the blood, everything dry up also, he will not arise. So that night, he realized the full enlightenment because condition fall into place and he was ready. Then when he connect back to his nature, he inherited everything, his perfection, 10 perfection from his spiritual nature. Then he became the Sammasambuddha. You know the three bodies of the Buddha? You heard of the three body, Trikaya. Yeah? First is the functional body, Nimanakaya. You heard of this or not? How many of you haven't heard of this? Nobody put out hand, so no need to explain. That's why you must put out your hand. Okay, I'll try to explain. There are three bodies. So this three body of the Buddha is also recorded in the Theravada Sutta. First body, they call it the Nimanakaya. Not Nirvana, Nimaya. Nimana. So this one you also have. So this one, Nimanakaya, is called the functional body. Functional body. So this is the Buddha's physical body at that time. Just like now, my functional body is this physical body. Yeah, it performed the function of the Buddha after he became enlightened. Yeah. So this one performed the function of my segmented this life. Yeah. This idea is called your functional body, Nimanakaya. Then he has the second part which is most important. So the second body is the spiritual body. Spiritual body, he call it Sambhogaya Kaya. You heard of this word? You haven't heard of this word? Oh. Sambhogaya Kaya. So this one is his spiritual body. So this one is different from the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature is that one that is up there in nature, in the midst of nature. So when underneath the Bodhi tree, when he meditate, he connect all this understanding that he has from his past cultivation and perfection, they come back to him through the gateway. That's why within the enlightenment, this Sambhogaya Kaya, the spiritual body, the spiritual understanding, the essence of his perfection cultivation, the perfection of all the 10 paramita, all come back to him. So he has this spiritual body. Yeah. So when the functional body, together with the spiritual body, they combine, they transform into the third body. So this one, after they combine, they transform into the third body. You know what is the third body or not? You sure know it? Very good. Dhammakaya. The Dhamma body. That's why he is the Buddha that teaches the Dhamma. So this Dhamma body, Dhammakaya, is the one that teaches the Dhamma. Before the Sambhogaya come in, he cannot. The functional body without the spiritual body, he cannot be called the Dhammakaya. But when this one come, combine, it become the Dhammakaya. But for us, we must understand this Sambhogaya Kaya, unless you have finished your perfection, yours is not the Buddha type or Sambhogaya Kaya. Yours is just ordinary spiritual inheritance. Like this segmented life of mind you call Brother Teo. The functional body came during birth until now. Okay? Then 1989, when it connect, I inherited this, the spiritual understanding from my past cultivation, from my spiritual nature. Then after that, I realized a lot of things I never learned this life, my functional body understand. Because this one came. It's just like the Sammasambuddha. Before the Sambhogaya Kaya come, he cannot teach. He doesn't have the full understanding of the Dhamma. But the moment he realized this, then he realized this Nimana Kaya is not him. Do you understand? This one is the five aggregate of form and mind. The first aspect, the functional body. This one is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. That's why when he realized this one is not real, this one is just a karmically conditioned form and mind for him to come to this existential world to do his duty, to cultivate, to live life, to experience everything and do what he wants to do, even fulfilling his prediction and vow. His problem is no more. Because when he realized this is not him, the reason why he left the palace, you remember the first tree? He has problem with old age, sickness and death. Well, he said all the happiness, the wealth, everything that the father gave him with the four palace over the four seasons got no more meaning. Well, towards the end, he realized, I have a problem. I cannot overcome old age, sickness and death. This was his problem. That's why he saw the fourth sign, the Samana, the monk, the holy cultivator. He decided to go that way to seek the truth. Then when he realized this is not him, he straight away free. That's why he know all his sickness and death pertain to this Nimana Kaya, the functional body. It's not him. That's why he know. He know you, he know me. This is karmically conditioned. And this is not a permanent, unchanging entity. How can you say it's me? It goes the way of nature. It tends to suffering. If it's me, I can tell this body, don't get old, don't get sick, and don't die. But because it's not me, it's anatta, non-self, not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can hold on to, cling on to, grasp onto, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, he free. He liberated. That's why without the spiritual understanding, if you don't inherit them, then you have to meditate to awaken. Yeah. To meditate to awaken is the sainthood way. That's why sainthood way, you don't have to connect to your true nature. You don't have to inherit from your spiritual nature. Because your cultivation is less extensive. The one that did the perfection, the bodhisattva, they need that nature. Otherwise, they cannot walk. Because you need to come back. And you come back without ignorance. Without ignorance, how can you come back? You understand? You know what is come back or not? Huh? Not like Jesus resurrect from the dead. Understand? Come back means you take another form and mind to come back. Do you understand? So if you don't have ignorance, there is no rebirth due to ignorance. So how do you come back? Of course, choose to come back, but how you do it? Very good. Love and compassion. Yeah, Adam, yes. the mic, so yeah. Yeah, Adam got a question.
Sorry about this.
You go back there. Yeah, you are facing this one that night. Yeah.
Okay. I just want to inquire about the Buddha mentioned about the architect. He met his architect.
It's not architect, house builder.
House builder. Yeah, so
Dr. Jayanta also laughed. He said after that, he said, "You shall build no more house. O house builder, I have seen you." He said, "Thy rafter has been shattered." Ridgepole has been shattered. Then rafter. You know what is rafter or not? You are not an architect. You are not a construction guy. Oh, no wonder you don't know. You say to build a roof, you need a center ridgepole at the peak. Our traditional conventional roof is pitch roof, isn't it? Okay? So there is a ridgepole here. This is a very strong beam. They call this the ridgepole. Then these are called rafter. Rafter. This rafter is for you to put all this timber. So all this timber are spaced at certain intervals so that your tiles can go on it. You understand? Yeah? So that your roof tile can go on it. So this roof tile will go on it. There's at the bottom piece, sorry. This one is on top. So all these are the roof tile. So he said, "Thy ridgepole has been shattered. Rafter dismantled." That's why he said, "Thou shalt build no more house." Then he said, "This is my last birth." That's how he became enlightened. It's in the poem, Paean of Joy, in the chanting book.
My question is, which part of Buddha, when he met his, the builder or the...
He didn't meet the builder. It's just they use word to describe that thing. Understand? What type of speech? Speaker of speech. You think people build your body? The law of karma condition your form and mind out. But to him, it's like a house. You know why your body is a house? But it houses you. It houses the consciousness and the nature. So this is the house. Does the house belong to you? Definitely it doesn't belong to you. Yeah, that's why he awakened. If house don't belong to me, if the house get destroyed or fall sick, get old and collapse, got problem or not? No problem with that. Then, like the car, beyond economical repair, what you do? You still want to repair. Too expensive, not economical. So what you do? Change over to a new car. Understand or not? Provided you have the money. And you know what is money? In the spiritual world, it's spiritual wealth. That's why you don't have the spiritual wealth, your good karma and all those things. You know what car you drive or not? Volkswagen. Walking one. No car. Then your DNA all in bad shape one when you come. Because you don't take care of karma. You understand? Then I explain what Paramahansa just now mentioned. Well, I ask you how you come if you got no more ignorance. That's how the Bodhisattva come. That's how the great beings come. You have to have love and compassion. You need a mind to come. Do you understand? But if this mind is without ignorance, it cannot take normal rebirth. Do you understand? So you need a pure mind, born of love and compassion. But pure mind without ignorance, the law of karma don't want you. You understand? Your karmic nature, there also no use. You see, you don't have avijja. You're supposed to finish. Arahant. You're not supposed to come. So you know how the Bodhisattva did it? They purposely make a vow for them to come back. That's why the four basic vows of the Bodhisattva, the first one is what? You vow to save the limitless living being. That is love. That is compassion. Born of love and compassion, I vow to save. Oh, then the law of karma said, like that can. Yeah. Like that, we will give you a form and mind. You come. But that rebirth consciousness is without avijja. That's why when I young, I remember 1 year old to 5, 6 years old, I got no thought on. Very innocent. Well, my father, my mother told me, it's very easy to look after me. I seldom talk on, until my grandmother thought I am dumb. Then I very innocent one. I saw my own photo when I was 2 years old. My father took me to a studio and I was saying, then I knew that pure mind. That's why when it come, it is that pure state. It is love and compassion, the pure mind. And Hui Ning is even more fantastic. You know what happened? When he come, he don't have the mundane mind. His mundane mind already collapsed. Most people, even all the great beings, most of them, you have to develop the affinity and the condition to come into contact with the Dhamma or through your vow, like what I taught you all, cultivating the Bodhisattva way, all those vow and the special understanding, how to break your karmic obstruction from the triple gem from all beings, then how to develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma so that life after life, whenever you choose to come, you will have this understanding. Then cultivate affinity or the great being for them to bless you, protect you, and guide you. So all this will be there. Then all the understanding about the three right views with regards to the law of karma, law of mind, and law of Dhamma or truth. So all this, when it's in place, it will give rise to causes and conditions where you have planted the Bodhi mind, the Bodhi seed, so deeply with such faith, understanding. The faith and the understanding will drive you. It will nurture that Bodhi seed into a Bodhi mind that will arise and give you all the condition to move. Then you will understand the Dhamma. You will meet with teacher, the guide. When the student is ready, the guide, the teacher will come. Condition will come. For my case, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. Most of them, I don't know them. Everyone that came, I don't know them. Then after that thing happen, you will know how to cultivate and you will know how to connect. Then after you connect, for my case, I was lucky because at the age of 35, I met all my teachers, including the last one, that I don't really need to him to see him already. But after 1989, my understanding of the Dhamma is there. But he came because of a purpose, because I have my vow, very powerful. That's why he came and showed me the gateway. Then after that, I cut short my cultivation, the transformation. Within 9 months after I met him, my mundane mind collapsed. Hui Ning no need to do all those cultivation, understand? He don't need to do all those things. He's straight away born without the mundane mind. That's why the moment he heard the Diamond Sutta, the mind must have no dwelling, he checked. That was what his mind is all about. Well, without the mundane mind, he don't dwell. That's why he straight away understand the Diamond Sutta. Then he told that merchant, well, the merchant also feel funny. He said, this is a very profound Mahayana Sutta. How come you can understand? He was asking the merchant who chanted the Diamond Sutta, what is it that you are chanting? He said, the Diamond Sutta. He said, what is this Diamond Sutta? There is one sentence, a stanza, he said, when you chant that the mind must have no dwelling, I came to great awakening, he said, because my mind was already like that. Then this merchant looked at him, no. He said, you must be gifted. He said, who are you? He said, I'm an illiterate. I didn't even go to school. Then he looked at him, no, more amazed. No. He said, I received this teaching from the fifth patriarch. What is his name? Hong Mei.
Hong Ren.
Hong Ren, Pa Si. Then he said, where is this monk? How can I see him? Or he said, you have to travel quite far. Then he said, I still got a mother to take care of those things, maybe later. But the merchant said, no, I take care of your mother. I sponsor your trip. So everything was ready for him. That's why he went. And he became the sixth patriarch after that. So all this is great beings. They come in different ways. That's why I salute Hui Ning. He is a real, very exceptional one. He is really very good. And his three hallmarks of his teaching, no thought, wu nian, wu xiang, wu zhu, no thought, no mark, then no dwelling. No thought already so powerful. That's why he teach meditation. He don't want you to waste time on thought-based meditation. He take you direct to the silent mind. Straight to the state of no thought. But that is your true nature. If you don't realize this, you cannot start your meditation. Yeah, he talked about the higher path, the Bodhisattva way. Understand? That's why he said, don't waste time. So he straight away take you to the state of no thought. And no thought is your true mind, your silent mind. When you are in sati, when you stabilize until mind enters sati, you don't have thought. When you are aware, you cannot think. You only think when you are not aware. So that's why his no thought is so powerful. Then after that, he realized no mark. No mark of a self-cultivating. No mark of living beings. Then no mark of Dhamma. No mark of life. Exactly like the Heart Sutta. In true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. Then after that, for people who has the mundane mind collapsed already, then only you can reach the third hallmark of his cultivation. The mind must have no dwelling. It doesn't dwell anymore. It's constantly aware, ever mindful. There is only specific phenomenal awareness and spacious awareness. It is a completely different mind. And this mind already understood no thought, no mark. That's why it doesn't dwell. It doesn't cling. It doesn't hold on to anything, where there is no more delusion. So this is the reason why Hui Ning is exceptional. Yeah? And today you got condition, that's why I share the three bodies, the Trikaya of the Buddha. Yeah? So first one is functional body, yeah? Nimanakaya. Second is the spiritual body, Sambhukaya-kaya. Then these two combine, transforming into Dhammakaya. That's why he is the Buddha teaching the Dhamma. That is the Dhammakaya. The Dhammakaya is the combination of that Nibbanakaya with the spiritual understanding. Yeah. You need to understand one more thing. The karmic nature, the moment you are born, like the Buddha under the fifth contemplation, he said, we are all born our karma. Heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. You straight away inherit from the coming nature, good and bad. Okay? So if you don't take care of karma, what you inherit could be rubbish. Yeah? You get into big trouble. That's why most people suffer a lot. Yeah? I saw the list, Sri Ansen now, HJBA. Wow, 60 old people with problem. That one is just my 70-something. That one is just minor problem here and there. I tell you, mental problem hasn't gone in. So, without Dhamma, life is not easy, I tell you. You don't take for granted. You are actually very blessed. Count your own blessing. Have contentment, have joy. Then, gratitude towards your own good karma in the past. But when it comes to spiritual nature, not so fast, understand? Spiritual nature, not everybody has. You have to wait for condition to arise in certain life, especially Buddha Sasana now. Then you cultivate, you perfect yourself. Then after that, you accumulate there, understand not? You can actually store that perfection or cultivation there. But within one sasana, how much can you cultivate? Then after the sasana gone, you lost again. Which means your spiritual nature hardly got time to build up. Understand? Yeah. That's why only great beings who go that way, they build it up. And it becomes different. Then when you reach very advanced stage of cultivation of the Bodhisattva way, yeah, they say there are 10 stages of Bodhisattvahood training, the 10 grounds of Bodhisattvahood. You have to reach at least stage 7 or 8. Then only guarantee and very stable up there. Then the good life, everything. So what happened is, even if you have accumulated the spiritual nature, whenever you come, or you choose to come, your form and mind, you need to have the condition to connect, cultivate. Then connect to your nature, then only you start to inherit. But the trouble is, my last teacher told me, most people, by the time they connect to the gateway, they are already 80 and above. So how much time do you have? Not much time. That's why this life I was lucky, because of that vow, he came. And I shortened my cultivation by at least 10 to 15 years. That's why I connect straight away, and within 9 months, the mandate mind collapsed. And I inherited everything. Yeah. That's why after that, my nature become very different, very different. So this is how all this thing can happen, okay? So this is for your info. Later on, as you cultivate, when you reach those stages of cultivation, you will understand. Don't try to remember, it will come to you. When the condition arises, your nature will understand. Before that, don't try to understand. Where the thought cannot understand. Okay? Yeah. Any more questions? Otherwise, I continue. Yeah? Oh, almost 10 o'clock. So just now I was at page 46. I think towards the end. Yeah? Full-time job. Where was it? What line? Towards the end. Oh, yeah. Fourth line from the bottom. Thanks, Tammy. Yeah. So that part needs to be stabilized and established. That's why it's a full-time job. I used to use this word, but it doesn't mean that you have to retire from your work. Full-time job here means to meditate full-time. You don't need to retire. Which also means in the midst of your working life, you can also develop mindfulness. That is what I meant by full-time job or full-time cultivating. Otherwise, like one of the Kayamita, oh, I mentioned it here about 10 years ago. She thought when I say meditation is a full-time job, she approached me and talked to me and said, Brother Teo, I still need money. So how can I retire? I say, who asked you to retire? He said, you say it's a full-time job. Oh, I say full-time job means whether you are working or not working, you are full-time developing the training of your mind to be aware or mindful, and this is what meditation is all about. It doesn't mean that you have to retire from your job. No. If you need to work, you work. If you have to work, you work. You know the difference or not? Huh? What is need to work? No money. You need money. Maybe for your own sustenance, your children education or what. Have to work? Means you have money, you have everything, your children all grow up already. But you don't have a job, you cannot live life. you find it so boring. Nobody call you boss anymore. If you don't have driver, don't have chauffeur and all those things, you don't get to enjoy all the perks that you used to get. Then you're at home. During working day, there was one JKR engineer that retired. He came and looked for a job from me when I was still working that time. You know what he told me or not? He said, Mr. Teo, because he is not a Buddhist, he don't cultivate one. So when I hire him, you know what he told me? Right? He said, Mr. Teo, I retired 3 months already. My life is so boring. Man. I said, why? Yeah, I don't know what to do. Huh? What do you mean you don't know what to do? I said, do what you like to do. Ayo, he said, Mr. Teo, when I call up my colleague, my friend, they say, please don't call me. Because we are working, they say. I got meeting to attend and all those things. He got nothing to do, no, every day call. So finally, he also cannot take it anymore. He said he almost go crazy. But he don't know what to do, too much time. But you are Ching Gap, no problem. We travel a lot with the wife. Lay home around. At home. This one you ask her to listen, she will be very happy. Your Ching Gap will really travel. Do the thing you want to do, you love to do. Be a blessing to the world. Attend Dhamma class. Develop understanding, cultivate, transform yourself, take care of mind, take care of karma. If you have the Dhamma, to have the good life is very easy. Change the way you live your life. Live your life according to the Dhamma way, following the Dhamma way. You know what is the Dhamma way or not? Dhamma way is the way of truth. Means what? The righteous way. That's why you live your life in accordance with the Dhamma way, is the righteous way, following nature's law. You will take care of karma, where you heed the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil. Do good, purify the mind, to develop wisdom. Then you will have the good life. Your good karma will take care of you. Your wisdom will give you the joy and the happiness. No more suffering. That's why the Dhamma way is so wonderful and is given to you free. The only free lunch. Out of love and compassion for living being, the Buddha gave all this free. That's why the world is really blessed under this sasana. And for those who understand, they have a lot of gratitude towards the Buddha for giving the world what the world needs. But a lot of people never understand all these things. And they don't cherish it. They say, free thing, how can it be good? Yeah, they have this selfish thought. They never give thing to people. So if you don't know how to appreciate the teaching, cherish this teaching, you will get to lose them all. When you talk to them about Dhamma, to help them understand life and free their mind and solve their problem, when they are in the midst of suffering, they listen. After they recover, they forget about the Dhamma again. They go back to their same old way. A lot of people are doing that. And as doctors, I think Dr. Jayanta know, when they suffer that time, anything also cannot. They will listen to you. They're willing to pay. But the Dhamma, we no need to pay. They don't know how to use. Understand not? And they get themselves afflicted, get into trouble, then only they want to change. But when they want to change, they want a shortcut. They think, see a good doctor, get the right medication, pay the money, then problem solved. The law of karma is not like that. Without the Dhamma, you don't know how to ask for forgiveness. You don't know how to go about turning your life around. You will get into big trouble, I tell you, no matter what you do. Because all that you do is not the Dhamma way, through delusion. So a lot of people suffer without knowing that they are suffering. So the Four Noble Truths is like the essence of the Buddha's teaching. And this is like the secret of life. When you understand the Four Noble Truths, you understand life. Then you know how to live life. Then you know how to develop the true change to live the proper life. Then your life will change for the better. Then you will get to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. That's how the Dhamma can help people, help living beings. So have this understanding and don't neglect your life. Try to understand this teaching. Then when the moment you understand, you become different. You will never do all those things again. You will never be heedless again. You will go all out to train your mind. Okay, then I read on. It doesn't mean that you have to retire from your job. No, if you need to work, you work. If you have to work, you work. This one I explained earlier. If you can afford not to work, then it's your decision. You can either semi-retire or retire. But whatever you do, whether retire, semi-retire or working, you can still cultivate. Cultivation is about developing continuous mindfulness or awareness. And this is what real cultivation is all about. So develop the understanding so that you are clear. Then your focus is there. By doing that, you won't get lost again. Otherwise, this question keep on coming up. Because it is from the thought. The thought wants to know whether I'm doing it right or not. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. It's like if you want to learn something, take for example cooking or whatever, you can read up the theory, but as long as you don't try it out, the actual cooking is all theory, not much use. Do you understand? If once in a while you cook, then you ask people to try to taste it, and you ask, does it taste good? If they say yes, then you will know you have done it already. Then you will become complacent, and then you write down the formula through knowledge. To remember how you do it, that is not a skillful cook. A skillful cook doesn't need anything. That manual only serves as an initial guide, and he knows that all those things that are mentioned in the book are based on assumption, because all these are just guidelines. It's not rigid and ultimate, because everywhere the source of those ingredients, they are different. The cucumber, the onion, the vegetable you buy, the oil you use, all these ingredients may come from different places and they are bound to be different. Do you understand? And the way you understand the instruction is also very important. That's why everybody will cook it differently. But if you are a skillful cook, you don't need to rely on the manual. You smell, you see, then you will know how to start the cooking already. You will know how to buy the ingredient and try it out. Then after a while, they will understand how much salt to put, or depending on where you get the vegetable, etc., then how you cook, depending on your skill. That is the understanding part. You don't become rigid. You don't become knowledge-based or thought-based. Otherwise, you go and argue with others. They are saying, the manual say cook like that. Then you argue, huh? Do you know? Why you go and put so much of this and that? Even though the same brand, sometimes the quality may not be the same. Do you understand? That's why you may buy from different batches, the different type of product. But for the person who cook, the moment he smells them, he know. He will know already. This is not the one they used to have. That's why your skill and your understanding will make the difference. So when you have all this understanding, you are not gullible. Especially cook, you know, when they have ingredients that are not fresh, straight away they know it. This one cannot throw away. Because no point. For us, we don't know. This one shop sell one, no. Some more expensive one, no. But people look for the quality, they know. I got one cousin from China, really China born one. He worked in a cigarette factory from rank and file, manufacture cigarette on, until now, the fully automated. You know, one day, how much cigarette that factory produced or not? At that time when I visited him, one day was 25 million stick. That is a normal shift, no? Not overtime. Then for him, I say, any cigarette you bring to him from wherever it's manufactured, he just have to hold the cigarette and pass through his nose. He will know where the ingredient come from and whether this is stale cigarette or fresh cigarette or manufactured how long already. And he tell me, if you are a smoker, take this advice from him. He said the butt there in front supposed to be the filter there. To filter the cigarette. Don't trust the filter. smoke the first one third. After that, it's very dangerous because the filter cannot cope. The second and the third, you call it one portion. He said that one, the filter cannot cope. The nicotine go into your lung. The first one third, you are safe. Is it almost 90% can cut off. But after that, he said don't smoke. Don't try to be like those people, smoke until the last, the very last, until it burn their hand. But don't smoke is the best, because doctor can tell you, their chances of having lung cancer is very high. And you know, my elder brother, when he was young, he smoked. He got a few classmates also smoke. They all dropped out from school very early. Then in the year when he was 28 or 29 years old, one of the classmates, because of too heavy smoking, landed in a hospital. He visited him, the other classmate and friend. Within 5 days, he died. From that day onward, he gave up smoking until today. He never touched the cigarette anymore. No need to go and pay people to kick the habit. The moment he saw, he doesn't want to end up like him. He saw him suffer for that 5 days. And he saw him die. The health deteriorate very fast. He lost weight, everything. That's why the best way to learn is to see it like meditation and awaken. If you see already someone tidak apa, not awakened, not frightened, the best of luck to you. Means you never learn. You think only other people kena, you don't kena. This is like four number two, no? You see suffering, and yet you allow it to torment you and make you so miserable, and you still blame people, no? That guy, otherwise I won't be like that. I won't be aggressive one. I won't say all those things. I won't hit out at people. You didn't even know that the evil roots are so strong, and you somehow want to blame people. The Buddha already said the evil roots are root of all evil, make you evil, cause your karmic downfall. And your life depends on karma. No? That's why people who don't know the Dhamma don't see this. They dare to do. They dare to break their precepts. They dare to be heedless. That's how suffering can become so intense. Okay, we go on. We are on page 49. Which line? I cannot remember. The last sentence earlier. Okay. Then we continue. Instead, you observe and you understand. Then you try it out. The trying it out is very important. You must do it until it becomes a part of you. Until you become very skillful, until you don't need anything to guide you anymore. It is like the object of meditation. Initially, it's a skillful means to assist you to train, to anchor the mind. After that, if you still use it, you cannot progress. That's why all these objects of meditation, later on, you must relinquish them. Even the chanting, you have to relinquish. So that the awareness within is always there. That's why there is no one to chant. The awareness is with the chanting as one. Nobody behind. It's the same for anapanasati. You develop it until very subtle breathing, until all the very subtle breathing all cease. Then you don't need to do it anymore because your mind already enters sati. Do you understand? Maybe I give you this analogy, you understand. How many of you don't know how to swim? If you don't know how to swim, the first thing you do is what? Hold on to a float, isn't it? Correct? So the float will help you float, then very easy to swim, isn't it? So that is what meditation object is all about, isn't it? A skillful means to help you anchor your mind. So this one is to help you float. So what you do? As long as you hold on to that float, do you know how to swim? The real swimming, you will never learn. Do you understand? But if you understand that the natural state of the body is buoyancy, you are lighter than water. Then why must you learn how to float? Do you understand? Because you are lighter than water. So what you do? You allow your body to sink down. Trust. That as it sink down, it will hit. The up thrust will balance your buoyancy weight. Then this up thrust will push your body up. Then because you are lighter than body, about 5 to 10% of your body is above water. Then you realize, to float, I don't need to learn. I don't need to do anything. Because my natural body is buoyancy. If you know that, then you know how to swim. To swim is just to move your leg and your hand. That's why swimming becomes easy. And that was what I learned. I saw everybody tell me, no need to worry on. You go in, it will float on. Then when I did it for the first time, I had so much joy. You know, when the buoyancy force pushed my body out, then I realized that is exactly what meditation is all about. Because the original state of mind is already the meditative state. Do you understand? Then why you want to learn to be aware? Try to be aware, doing all those funny things. If you learn how to float, means what? You are struggling in the water to try to float yourself up. Do you realize? Every time your head deep down, you panic and you struggle. And that type of swimming is very difficult, isn't it? A lot of struggling. But if you know the natural body is lighter than water, the natural tendency is buoyancy, then you just don't do anything, it will float. Then you swim by moving your leg and your hand. Meditation is the same. The natural state of mind is already the meditative state. So don't think, understand? When you think, when you do all those funny noting and all those things, you are stirring up the thought. Do you understand? You are making yourself not peaceful. So why can't you just relax away? Don't do anything. Then allow the thought to settle down. Then the natural state of mind will come back. Because all these thoughts are not intrinsic within your true mind, your true nature. That's why without thought, you already aware. No need to learn to be aware. Just make sure the thought doesn't arise. But to do this, you need understanding, wisdom. You need to understand this, like swimming. Then you dare to just relax, silent, don't do anything. The conditioning of most people is what? To meditate, there must be a meditator, isn't it? So who is the meditator? The thought is the meditator. So the thought must do, isn't it? In the name of meditation. But when the thought do, what happened? Thought is active. When thought is active, how can you be aware? You are doing the total opposite, contradicting yourself. That's why you cannot develop the meditative state. And you don't even know about the Buddha's teaching, the five mental hindrance, how they come about. Because you lack the spiritual faculty. So when you understand all this, meditation becomes very easy. Spiritual faculty is there, no more mental hindrance. Then I can just relax, silent, straight away I go into the meditative state. I don't even need method and technique. I don't even need anything to hold on to, like the float. The moment I understand, I don't need the float. Buoyancy is already natural. Sati is natural. The moment I am aware without thought, the awareness is already there. So all these are the understanding. That's why meditation need to be done with understanding. I will read on. When there was very subtle breathing also ceased, then no need to do anything because your mind already enters sati. During your that time, whatever you see, you are in sati. Whatever you smell, taste, or tactilely feel, you are in sati. So that mind is different. You must have the stability of mindfulness to have the ability. Otherwise, you cannot understand what those cultivators are trying to share with you. I realize most of you have not really understood that part. That's the reason why you all keep getting caught in the vicious cycle, trapped inside there due to your old habitual thinking. You are too eager to know. That was what happened to Sister Padmasri last time. But now she is already different. She no longer has that problem. Too eager to progress may also be a problem, because it's like one become very anxious, want to have the progress but cannot. Then inside said, wow, I tried so hard. I did so much, but still not there yet. To awaken, you cannot have this type of craving inside your mind. Do you understand? The thought that has the craving to progress, to be awakened, is a craving. So it cannot happen, because to awaken, the appropriate condition has to unfold. That's why you just do diligently, sincerely, with faith, and don't try to know. Then when all the conditions are there, all of a sudden, you understand. Then when your daily mindfulness is very established, firmly established, you will see a lot of things that you have never seen before. You will see your own subtle mental intention clearly. You can also see how your sankhara arise and pass away. How upon contact, feeling arise to condition craving. If there is no initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. You can be with the moment of feeling, attention or perception, sankhara activity, etc. After that, no need to do anything. It's just like that all the time. Then the whole TV program or the phenomenal world, your awareness will just flow with it. Everything is like a flow, specific phenomenal awareness. That's why you can see the physical flow, the mental flow, the nature's flow. Everything is just like a flow in that state of awareness. Most of the time, it is in specific phenomenal awareness. Then once a while, it is in spacious awareness without a center. Your mind is just like that. That's why there is no dwelling. Yeah. I still remember in the year 1989, after my Monday Michael, I look at my color TV. You know what happened? The color TV, as usual, with all the movie, everything running, I was just in pure perception. The awareness of all the movement, everything without the word. No matter how fast the thing changes, the awareness is with it. And it was so serene, so still. Then I realized, if I want to see the show, I can see. If I want to understand, I can understand. The word can come out. But if I don't want, I just see nothing inside there. All the activity and the movement. They're very clear. Sankara nichang, sankara dukang, dhamma anatta. Nothing inside there. Then everything in life, last time, you cannot see. Now suddenly you see. That's why I used to use the word, truth is everywhere. The characteristics of nature is everywhere, every moment, every instant. Why can't you see? The one who see, they always see. Because nothing has changed actually. Before my Monday, my collapse, I can't see. I have to be very mindful to see. See my inner one. But external one, I cannot see. But after the Monday, my collapse, that few days, almost 5 to 7 days, I was so amazed. Everything is so clear. The characteristics of nature, which is the three universal characteristic, truth, anicjang, dukkha, anatta, everywhere, every moment, every instant. I said, no wonder living being cannot see. Yet their mind is so clouded with thought, emotion, sankhara activity. The mundane mind are like your cloud. Your emotion and your mental hindrance are like all those things obscuring you. Yeah. That's why you cannot have the pure seeing, the direct seeing, the clarity of mind to be mindful, to be aware. So this is what the real cultivation is. And it's not what people tell you or what you read from the book. Because this type of understanding is very rare, very difficult to come by. Okay, I read on. So first train your mind until no thought. If this no thought state also you cannot arise, it means you are still not ready to develop the meditation as yet. where you have yet to realize your true mind, the silent mind. When you are most of the time aware, ever mindful, it means most of the time you are without thought. Now you understand the correlation. Why you need to meditate until your mind enters sati. You understand? When your mind enters sati, it cannot think. True or not? There's like no thought. Then in the midst of life, daily mindfulness, you are fully aware, ever mindful. That's why specific phenomenal awareness is also without thought. Spacious awareness also without thought. So most of the time you are without thought. Avijja paccaya sankhara hardly arise. You only need to arise when you need to live life. You need to do something. So because of that, this first training to realize no thought is very important. But it must be a free mind, not a conditioned mind with energy field and all those things. A free mind with wisdom and understanding can just be aware like that. No need to concentrate, focus, or use anything to hold the mind. That first training is the most important. You can't even hit that, you cannot be ever mindful. Heedfulness can never be there. That's why daily mindfulness is very important. You have to develop it. So the formal meditation is just to train your mind. After that, it's still a lot of work to do. But if you understand, it's not difficult. Very easy. Can be done. That's why you must have the faith. Yeah. Okay, the alarm sound. So we stop here, page 51. If you really want to progress, you should read this book. This book has a lot of very good pointer towards understanding meditation. Then when you understand pariyatti, you will know how to put it into practice. And you will know how to cultivate it accordingly. And you will progress very fast. Without this understanding, most people, I realize, they do meditation in inverted comma. Without understanding what they are doing in the name of meditation. But they don't even know what is the real meditation as taught by the Buddha. They straight away become gullible. They start by going after all the method, technique and the teacher. Then what do? Every day they do the same thing. They note. If they don't note, they don't do all this so-called meditation, they say they are not meditating. That is not meditation. Meditation is about training your mind to be heedful, to be aware, to be ever mindful in the midst of life. If you cannot develop that state in the formal meditation, do you think you stand a chance when you come out into the open in society? You don't stand a chance. Why? When you are in the midst of life in society, your senses are fully engaged. Do you understand? You have to see, you have to hear, you have to smell, you have to taste, you have to tactile feel and think. When these are active, how can you silent? In the retreat, when most of the senses are down, you also cannot enter the meditative state of sati. Mind cannot enter sati. You think you have a chance when you come out? That's why the training is needed in formal meditation in retreat. But this is just to prepare you until your mind enters sati. Then develop the initial wisdom. Step 2, listen to the Dhamma, reflect, contemplate until the understanding yoniso manasikara come out. Then only your daily mindfulness can stabilize. Without yoniso manasikara, the initial wisdom, you will stir your mind. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, or feel, or think, your mind reacts. Because of wrong view. Because you don't have yoniso manasikara. Well, when you have yoniso manasikara, this wisdom will come and prompt you at the moment of sense experience when you see something. He is the way he is. Stop. That is what the second right effort is all about. Prevent the unwholesome thought from arising. The right effort to prevent it from. So without this yoniso manasikara, you cannot deal with sense experience. Then when you understand, it will prompt you. You are not deceived, not deluded. That's why you don't stir your mind anymore. You can accept them for what they are. The world is the world. Condition like that, things will be like that. I'm at peace. And then you realize your mind becomes more and more peaceful, more and more quiet, more and more moment of mindfulness, awareness, space between thought. Then your mindfulness becomes natural. You realize when avijja is reduced, sankhara also reduce. That's why the initial wisdom is very important. So avijja sutta, very specific. Have Dhamma friend so that you got conditioned to listen to the Dhamma. Then first turning, second turning wisdom, it will give you the step 4, which is yoniso manasikara. But before step 4 come out, we are all these Dhamma stand up to investigation. Your faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha is very, very stable. That's why faith, step 3 come. Then step 4, yoniso manasikara, technically you are home. When you have that, your daily mindfulness, step 5 will come. Then you only need to develop clear comprehension. Then after that, sense restraint, step 6. Then the 3 way of right conduct. You are already enlightened after that. At least Sotapan or Sakadagami. Then 4 foundation of mindfulness become very easy. You will breeze through. But when your daily mindfulness and your initial wisdom is there, you can understand the 4 foundation of mindfulness very easily. And you can do it. Then the 7 factor of enlightenment keep on arising. That's how the step 9 arise. Then step 10 is enlightenment in the here and the now. So all this will complete the Avijja Sutta, 10 step, sequence to enlightenment. So all this, you reflect, you contemplate, you understand, then go all out and cultivate. It's not difficult. Yeah. Especially Yoniso Manasikara is not difficult. I already given the talk at SJBA, recorded and video some more. Go and listen. Then write down the note and make sure you cultivate them. And you will transform. Yeah. Because I already told you, all Kayamita have minimum the first 3 steps. True or not? Dhamma friend you have. Listening to the Dhamma, you have the classes. Now you got website. Then, faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, Sangha. All of you, most of you have. So what you lack is Yoniso Manasikara. And most people have Yoniso Manasikara. The only thing is you are not serious. Then you didn't use that as a base to cultivate your daily mindfulness. We are in the formal meditation, you didn't meditate until your mind enters sati. That's why you cannot have that daily mindfulness, the religious routine. You have to do it. Then all this can come. And it's very easy, especially now, to awaken because the sasana is still there. Okay? So we stop now. Eh? We rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us share merit. Transfer merit, then after that invoke blessing for the nation, and you make your aspiration. Akka satta cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu loka sasana etta watta cha amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu Sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu cha Vito bhavatu loko cha Raja bhavatu dhammiko Ipmina punyang kamina Mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu Yava nivana patiya Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Please pay respect to Triple Gem. Then we end. Thank you.
May we pay respects to Brother Teo. for sharing the Dharma with us today by saying sadhu 3 times. And also to Brother Sweet On and Sister Mei Feng for sharing the venue and allow us to study Buddha and Brother Teo. Had a session with Brother Teo.
Gathering of that.